It is coffee beans eaten by
Stop it.
Elephants.
Stop
and
it.
then taken out of the dung and then made into beer.
No. Ooh,
Kane, I just
they
got the
were
room
doing
on
it
that
as
one.
coffee.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
It's a weird thing.
It's so strange because I was like, aren't there more gay men who are out? No?
He's the first one.
But what about Billie Jean King, Martina Navratilova?
But
retired, right?
And also, here's the big thing that Martina Navratilova mentioned, which I thought was interesting, is that in tennis, you're your own boss. You can't get cut from the team.
Oh.
When you're on a team,
it's a whole other thing.
You work with other people.
Well, here's my thing with that is, like, I feel like when you're on any kind of team, those guys in the NFL, the NHL, NBA, whatever, they know each other very well. Like, they know who's gay and who's not gay.
They do, but I think sometimes, like, you know, like you have someone has that husband where you know he's gay.
Yeah.
But no one wants to talk
about
it.
No one wants to talk about it.
So,
that's
but
fine.
Once you talk about it, then it's then awkward. It's but if there. You don't bring it up, then it's fine.
I feel like also, too, like if I were a gay dude, I would definitely be in the NFL. What?
Yeah. Delicious. Tightness. Awesome things.
There's locker room action.
And there's a full body contact.
Yeah. A couple, you know.
Oh, I'd be a wrestler.
I have a big idea to do nude FC. I would like to run nude FC. Because
okay.
That's why I don't watch UFC. Too much clothes.
Yeah.
Nude FC is where it's at.
That is the problem with today's society.
Yeah.
It's too much clothing.
Too much clothing. So we're here with our special guest today, Emily Epstein.
Yay.
Hi. Actually, it's Emily Epstein White
now.
Is it
Epstein White?
Yeah, I added shit and changed. It's crazy.
I even said Epstein.
God.
Why do I always say Epstein? Because you tell a joke about Juan Epstein.
Didn't
you used to tell a joke about
I don't
that?
Think so, Puerto Rican Jew.
Yeah.
I don't. I tell jokes about thinking I look Puerto Rican. And being Jewish.
Do you think you look Puerto Rican? Or other people think you look
Puerto
Rican?
I think in the right lighting when I'm playing dominoes, I do. I don't think
yes, when you're yelling out domino, motherfucker.
Exactly. Or boricua. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Putana, whatever
exactly.
You have to say.
I'm eating
look
rice.
Puerto Rican.
No, I mean.
Oh, she must be Puerto Rican.
Yes.
Well, no, it's one of those things where people don't know what I am. They're like, oh, are you Greek? Are you Italian? Are you this? And then other people, when they know, but when you know what I am, they're like, oh, of course, you look like a
it
Jew.
It makes sense.
And you're like,
that, only after you tell them. You look Jewish.
Right.
Like, how that pulls it all together.
Yeah.
And rarely is it meant as a compliment when someone does think I look Jewish. It's never like,
it's
you
never
are
a good
lovely.
Thing. Do you ever get those guys that come up to you and ask you if you want to pray with them?
No.
So then you don't look as Jewish.
I
as
look
you
stand. I think I look, no, I think when I see Orthodox Jews, I just look standoffishy.
Really?
Yeah.
And that stops them?
I do. Actually, one time I was approached and he asked me if I was Jewish and I said no. And I told my husband, and he was like, oh, you are a liar. You are so lucky you don't have hell in your religion. Because I was like, I just didn't want to do it.
You don't want to get it. I tell people that I am Jewish. When people come up with some religious stuff, especially because I live in a Jewish neighborhood, when they come up, I'm like, no thanks, I'm Jewish. And they just move on.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you should try it.
Sometime.
I got one
guy once was like, are you Jewish? Because he was handing out the things, the, I don't know what
the
it
frond
is.
Or
the
whatever.
Frond. Yeah, I don't know which
the
holiday
lulav
is.
The lulav and for Sukkot.
Yes.
In the fall.
And it's like, are you Jewish? I'm like, no. It's like, oh, just
sorry.
Walked away. You don't get one.
Was he like, nice cans?
Yeah.
So anyway, let me reintroduce our guest. Emily Epstein White is here with us. She is a podcaster, a comedian, a social media expert, a writer. What else do you do? Did I leave anything out?
I juggle.
She juggles also.
Wow.
I dance a little.
Yeah. She does a little bit of dancing.
A little bit of clogging. I do some clogging.
Well, I mean, that's in everybody's repertoire.
Yeah, I mean, jazz hands. I mean, you know, that sort of thing.
So thanks for coming to the studio.
Thanks for
being
here. Having me, ladies.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started off in comedy and what you're doing with it.
I always wanted to do stand-up forever. And when I was younger, I grew up 5 minutes outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want anyone to yell at me for being like, nah, you're from the suburbs. So it's like 5 minutes. I could walk into the
Cherry
city,
Hill?
Okay. No, that's New Jersey.
Oh, I thought there was a Cherry
How
Hill
dare you?
In Pennsylvania. Main Line?
Oh.
Okay.
Yep. Represent me and Toby.
Like everybody I went to summer camp with.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I there wasn't a lot. I mean, there wasn't a ton of comedy around there, and I didn't have cable growing up. I was very, very.
You didn't have cable? What did you do?
My parents got cable last month.
Oh. What? Yeah. Did you have cable growing up?
No.
I didn't get it until I was 13 and we moved into a town.
No, we like our neighbors had it, so you could see it through the window. Yeah.
You could go there.
You were just, I'm just going to go over to the neighbor's house and stand outside.
Yeah, and we're pressed up against the glass.
Oh, yeah. I had to get my fill. Oh, my God. You know, what did you do?
I
no super TV?
No. You know what? It was funny, like, we got a couple weird channels. Like, we got the, there was an Indian channel that had, like, wonderful music videos. And my brother and I would just recreate those and dance toward the water. Like, that was what we would do for fun.
Oh, no.
They were just very, I don't.
Did you paint yourself blue?
No. Yes.
Try to ride on a mouse? Any of that?
No, we didn't get too crazy.
Okay.
It was a lot of imaginary goats dancing with us.
Nice.
With your siblings, you would do this? Would you
direct? I have one brother. We would share. We would, you know, work. We wanted to be versatile and give ourselves
Katie would have taken Strowman, like you, goat number two. Get it together.
Come on, key grip, let's go.
Yeah, you and Vishnu? Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I read a ton growing up, and, you know, we played sports and danced and not toward the river, but also, like, I took a lot of, like, I took ballet when I was little, and I was really bad, and they thought I maybe was special, and it just turned out that I didn't know my left from my right yet, and if you don't know your left from your right, it's really hard to do ballet.
Oh.
It's kind of side-driven.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember doing ballet. Yeah. I had thighs, so that ended that.
Oh. Yeah. I did gymnastics, too, and I hit puberty at, like, 4. Like, oh,
if you have a figure, you can't do it.
No, you can't.
If you
want to
eat, you have a figure, you get your period, you're done.
Yep.
Oh, you're done.
It's hard being a lady.
Yeah.
But
I'm depressed. I was just like, I wanted to do gymnastics and ballet.
You wouldn't have lasted
long.
No.
Did you? I had like a window, like probably about 4 weeks.
Did you have a figure?
4 weeks.
When you were younger? Okay, so forget it.
I loved it. It was so fun. It was fun to do. But yeah,
too,
once you hit puberty, even if you're not like going to move to Russia, like it's still
you can't get
difficult
up on your toes if you got a B cup or more. Basically.
Your center of gravity, you're like a unwieldy duckling on a balance bar.
It looks sexy, and there's nothing worse than a sexy ballerina.
It's true.
Oh, really?
You want
that's
them
right
to look like a dwarf.
Yeah.
So you have to be flat-chested, narrow hips.
We saw
tiny
Swan Lake, and the woman was, it's like, you got to be awkward. You know, like, everything has to be weird and stick-like.
It's all lines.
Yeah, it's
no,
all lines.
No curves,
yeah,
just
lines. Because it's for dudes.
Yeah. It's true.
Wow. So what made you want to get into comedy? If you're not even watching TV, you don't even know what's
out there. Well, I knew
that
comedy existed.
You did.
You'd heard about it.
I had heard.
You heard a joke.
I had a tin cup telephone with my friends and we, but no, I had always wanted to do it, and I'm 5 feet tall now. So I've always been.
Me too.
Yeah. High five.
Or low five,
low five
as
right
it were. We'll have to get up on a chair and give Katie a high five.
That works.
The show's over.
Hug you around the waist because that's where her head
is. Aww, I'll pat you guys on the top
we'll
of the head.
Just look up.
But I've always had a Napoleon complex. I've always been a little funny friend. That's like always been my role. And then when I was in college, I finally started writing humor column for the newspaper and got really good feedback from that and started thinking about wanting to do it. Like I had a.
You're like, oh, you do have some worth.
Yeah. I do.
Yes.
And I would like talk to my friend about doing, if I did stand up, what stories I would tell because all this weird stuff happened. And then I moved to New York, not for comedy, and still wanted to do it. And I was taking an advertising class just to like see what I could do with my writing skills because that's always been my thing. My writing, the advertising teacher was out of his mind. And he said, before I found advertising, I was sleeping on a park bench. And I was like, I thought you said you were staying with your mother, but whatever. And he's like,
is that the way to open up a class?
I don't. He was a strange
like,
dude.
Look to your left, look to your right. One of you
will
be sitting
one
on
of
a
you
bench
will be homeless and the other will be in advertising. But he's like, if you get nothing from this class, you have to do what you love. And as soon as I found advertising, like I loved it. I was good at it. I would stay till midnight and I'd be happy. And it was at that moment that I was like, I have to do it. I have to try stand up. And then
and
that
then
was
you
it
jumped up there.
And that
did
was
wow
it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Do you remember your first gig?
Yes.
I love first
gig I did my first open mic and then my first show within a week of each other.
Nice.
The open mic, I remember that I was chewing gum. And I don't think anyone heard anything else. And I was shaking. And I hadn't written in my diary in like 10 years. And I wrote in my diary that night, like, I did it. I'm so proud. Now what? And then I didn't write my diary for like another 10 years.
Oh, no.
So
it was like set up chew.
Yeah, pretty much.
But how did you prepare for it? Like, did you just like wrote your stuff? And
she
like, took
I'm
the gum
out
there
of the packet.
Yes, I chewed it. So it was a little soft. And then I got on stage. But no, like, I wasn't... The thing is it's not hard, I think, to do your first 5 minutes because you've been saving it up your whole life.
And everyone... I remember everyone's so excited and so supportive. Yeah. Your second 5 minutes, they're like, oh, fuck yourself.
Exactly. Nice pants. Exactly. My first show was great. Like, I had friends that were there and I have a personality, so it was like... And I had stories to tell.
Yeah,
so
you're
it's
not
fine.
A dick. Yeah.
But then, yeah. But then as time goes on, then it's a question of the second five and the third five and being able to roll with pinches and... deal with hecklers and not be too sad when things don't work out. And this 2 weeks ago, I did a show in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. And I was like, it's fine. I'll do some crowd work. And I looked out at the audience and I was like, they're wearing John Deere hats. Seriously.
That's
and
my crowd.
They have meth teeth. Yeah. And I'm a little scared that I won't be able to get them to relate to me.
Does someone have a little mustache on?
There was everything happening. Yeah. There was so much. Yeah. There was so much happening. And what? It was so stupid because it's like everything. If they want to laugh, you can relate to them. You talk to them about, everyone has a family. Everyone's had a relationship. Everyone's had a job. Like, you can find common ground. You just have to.
Or you could do fish out of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I was like, but it's always funny when I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, do they know what Jews are? And my husband's black. Is that going to make them uncomfortable? Like, I'm always sitting there assessing everything. I'm like, they don't know Subway, so that's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like you're going through and you're like, all right, they eat food. I have a joke about a restaurant. Okay, I will do that. So,
Very nice. So I understand. Wow. You've played tons of places. I understand you played in the Yangtze River. In China. On a boat?
On a boat.
Wow. Tell me about that.
Tell all of us.
Yeah. Don't just tell me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Share it.
All right. I went on a trip to China with my family, which is always an adventure.
Why?
Why did I go to China? No. Why did I travel with
my family?
Yeah, why'd you go with your family?
That's
family
like a
trip.
Horrifying.
We used to do family trips. Like it's been hard lately because I got married and my brother got married, so it's been hard to coordinate with everybody. But we used to go on like a family trip once we were older, and it was really nice because we all got along really well.
Mm-hmm.
And
Katie and I are just blanking.
Yeah. And also, like, who has the money?
Well,
your money is another thing. And then how do you coordinate all your vacation time?
It's hard. It's hard to do. But so we did that. And, if you're going to China, China's far away and there's a lot to see. So if you're going to do it, get in there. So we started.
Get stuck in.
Get it in there. So we started.
Get a boot in your back. Yeah. Get it in there.
Just move China. It.
Yeah. So we started in the north and then worked our way down the country and we did. A boat ride down the Yangtze River, and there ended up being a talent show, and I was forced to do stand-up, and actually, it was really fun.
We like, you guys eat food, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it was like, some of the people, there were a bunch of people that were all on cruise.
Is anyone Jewish? Anyone Jews
well,
here?
Well, no, but it was all like, do you know some crazy, these 9 crazy things happened to me on the trip so far, anybody else? And everyone was like, yes.
Oh, this
yes,
is, I'm
did.
Not
Why
alone.
Why don't they wait in line? Why do they pee with the
true.
Door open? Why are there no doors? Like that,
They don't wait in line.
No.
I've learned that in Chinatown. Every time I go down there, I'm like,
nobody's in line.
10 minutes later.
I can't even go down there.
Well,
bathroom
the thing
specifically.
Is, if you are not close enough, they're like, well, she's not serious about getting a bun. Let me just move in. Just tell you now, you're not serious. If you're not pressed up against the thing that you want to get.
It's also like there's.
What are you doing there? Maybe you're still thinking, do I want a coffee tea? Do I want a bean bun?
Do you want bubbles?
Yeah.
Do you not want bubbles?
You not, your tapioca, not, you know.
What's happening?
They don't know. As far as they're concerned, you're just, mulling your options.
Oh,
meanwhile.
I'm getting nervous about that already.
Yeah. Breathe.
But you'd be
breathe.
Taller than everyone else, so you could shout over them. For us, no.
No, not so much.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because, they really, I feel like Chinatown is the most similar to China of any place that has, simulated communities.
Chinese people who I know who are not big fans of China, mainland China, do not like
Chinatown
at all.
Oh, really?
They find it very annoying. I've had students from mainland are like, it stinks. I'm never going there again.
Yeah.
It reminds them of home too much. It would be like,
it's so funny.
If you left where you're from and then you went halfway around the world, you get there, it's fucking New Jersey.
Oh, that would be.
That.
That would be.
You don't want to do that.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
You don't want to tan and do laundry. And you don't. But it's also like, I think there's no sense of space there because it's so overcrowded. So
No time.
That was a thing. Like, it's one of the few places I've gotten to do a good amount of traveling, and it's one of the few places where by the end I was like, I am good. And then on the flight home, a little boy peed on me twice, so I was like, insane. I am ready to go.
A little boy. Wait, he stands on the seat next to you and just let it rip?
He was like 2 or 3 and he was adorable, but he was wearing like the equivalent of assless chaps and I was not really clear on that. Yeah, so we like played hide and seek and stuff and whatever, but he's like 2.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Assless chaps, it's like... Ring, ring,
like
stewardess.
Baby assless chaps. Like, but they look like assless chaps. And so I found out later, after this all happened, that I forget the actual name, but it's something that, like, farm kids used to wear in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
So if you had to pee, you just, like, pick your kid up. They just do what they need to do. You can just keep going. Don't even
need
to stop.
It was like
exactly, exactly. Right. So you're on a plane, and the thing is, after it happened, he was with his grandmother. His grandmother yelled at him, but it's like, he's 2. He's not funny.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But it was
and
like,
don't act like he hasn't been doing that at home, lady.
God,
I love when kids do something. The parents are like, what are they doing? I'm like, what they always
do.
Always do,
yeah.
Because you said it was okay.
Because you taught them.
Yeah.
The second I felt it on my foot.
They came from you.
Yeah.
I felt it on my foot, I was like, I know what that is.
Oh,
and he did it again because this whole flight was full. It wasn't like we could move off, so we were in the air. And when
put a cup on it.
Time I moved. Second time I moved.
You saw the Matrix.
I saw the seat like swelling with pride and I was like, oh boy. but it was also like the flight attendants were very like, ha ha, and I was like, it's not funny,
it's
bitches.
Not funny.
This is not okay.
You know what? I might have dropped child and taken a piss on it myself.
Yeah, guess what? You're upgrading me to first class now. I don't care if you have to open up the hatch
and jump
somebody out.
Knock one out and
like when a kid pokes you and you poke him back, you should have peed on him. Mm. Right there.
I can't pee on a man like that. I wasn't wearing a skirt and also like I'm shy, you know, when it comes to peeing on people. I need you to like take me out to dinner or something first.
Yeah, I need some money. That's all. I need a couple of
give me a snack, and then I'll pee on you. It's fine.
Hey, you know, it is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. So, right now, you're, amongst other things, you have a podcast. Why don't you tell our listeners about that and tell them where they can find you.
Okay.
How to listen to your podcast.
I have a podcast with my husband, Elon James White, and it is called This Tastes Funny, and it is a podcast about food and humor and our love of those things. And my husband actually runs a lot of podcasts. He runs like 7 or 8 podcasts.
What?
It's his job.
That's basically what he does.
Wow.
So it's under Twib Media, which is This Week in Blackness.
Okay.
We have a similar segment, The Week in Bateman.
Okay.
Yes. Also covering African American social, political.
Well, he does that all day, every day. Every segment.
We don't talk about that at all.
Okay.
We do talk about Jason Bateman.
Okay.
We'll talk about him today.
I don't remember him being black.
Well, not yet. He's not yet. No one's perfect.
That's fair. I'm trying my best.
He's working on his career right now, so no time to be black.
Right.
Yeah. Fair.
You do that once you've established yourself.
It's like once you have a job, you can't do everything. Sometimes things have to fall
by the wayside.
It's true.
As we see.
So he's got all these podcasts, but yours is.
But that is one that we do together, and
it's very funny too.
We enjoy it. I mean, it sounds stupid when you say it, but we are not experts in food, but we both love to eat and we like.
But that's why I like it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not like, well, where are these mushrooms from? What region? Like it's just we eat out a lot and we love food and we both come from different backgrounds and have different eating habits and then I'm a pescatarian and I have some food allergies and he is a meatitarian.
And he only eats meat, apparently.
He eats a lot of meat and bacon, which I understand is a meat, but it's kind of in its own food group.
Bacon is
on a pedestal by itself.
It is. It's so bizarre. It is.
Yeah.
I know it is a killer of black people, but it's in everything. They're actually having a festival in New Jersey where everything is bacon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like milkshakes.
Yeah.
Drinks.
Yeah.
Like everything.
It's become a running joke with him where, like, when I saw bacon candy when I was in San Francisco, I brought it back. He's like,
oh, really?
But if you do, like, a sampling of different kinds of bacon, like a duck bacon and all that, that's very exciting to him. But if you...
I didn't know there was duck. Have you had that? Duck bacon?
No.
Yeah. It's about how it's prepared, apparently.
Huh. I did not know that.
I didn't.
But you, the vegetarian, didn't know that? That's interesting.
No. Well, I grew up with people who eat, like, awful.
Mm.
So I'm not surprised at this, but I didn't know, like, duck, like, what part of the duck?
I guess...
Like, it must be small.
I imagine the soft underbelly.
Ew.
And you kind of fry it up nice
and
dry it out.
Yes.
I mean, duck fat on fries is like, you know,
He's supposed to be really good.
The new shit.
That's bizarre.
Really? So what else is, what are the other new trends that are coming up?
Well, guys, I think cupcakes are on the way out.
Good. All right. I've been hearing about cupcakes.
They're getting smaller and smaller, and soon they will just disappear completely.
There's one company I saw that's offering a giant cupcake. I'm like, son, it's a cake.
Yeah, it is. It's like,
it's a cake. What's going to happen? And it's piped to look like.
Yeah, let's properly label things as they are. I feel like that ridiculously gross tea, I forget the name of it, the kombucha.
It tastes moldy. Yeah. Have you ever had this? It's one of these things where you open the container, it's like, it's excited to get out.
Tastes like a little bit like what I imagine an old man's balls would.
Yeah,
what mossy. You would imagine.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine.
But with
like very old, I'll let very you know very for old, sure. very old man, like a 95-year-old man. Like,
that's very specific. Yes. Yeah. See, that's why you have the show on food and we don't.
Right, because
we just said balls.
I have and I'm like, let's think about the nuances. Yeah. How old is the man?
Old
whose
man,
balls?
Young yeah. man.
Where is he from? What's his life been like?
Wall Street trader from, gone to seed.
He's from Poughkeepsie, and he sits a lot and watches his programs, and so it marinates. It's really, it's muddy.
But he has a nice
fromunda. Yeah.
Very nice. Very cool.
That was very full of adjectives. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a very classy podcast. Yeah.
So, all right. So, duck fat over French fries. Mm. That's another new thing. Cupcakes are on the way out. What else can we start eating now to make ourselves look cool?
Yeah. What's the next thing?
Whatever you like.
No, it's got to be
something
that's hot.
Something hot.
I mean, I know, I feel like everybody puts truffle on everything, but it's still always, it's still delicious.
What are we, in the 90s?
It's so good, though.
It is good.
It's so good.
It's very expensive.
Yeah. I came back, but it doesn't, I came back from Italy and they had truffle on everything, and I brought some back, and I love, a little bit of truffle oil on my eggs. That's, my favorite. It's so good.
I've been noticing lately gold leaf.
Gold leaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had gold leaf on a couple of things. It's a little resting at first.
Yeah.
That your meal comes and it's got a nice sheen on. It's got a good shine on it. But it's like gold flakes.
That I have not noticed.
Doesn't taste like anything. Sure is expensive.
Then why?
I don't know.
Because
I don't know.
Remember? Because why won't you do something that you can up the price for?
Why
something?
Not? Sure. We shaved gold onto this ham and cheese sandwich.
I think in the 80s, it was sun-dried tomatoes came out, right?
Yes.
And then also cranberry juice in club soda. That was that's when that became popular.
That's so true. What happened to those things? No one gives a shit about sun-dried tomatoes anymore. No. Pesto used to be a big thing.
Pesto's still there. It's still holding up, I think. It's still doing okay. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin in the fall is huge. I feel like more, I love pumpkin beer, and I feel like every year, there are more and more of them.
Well, the flavored beers, we like to do beer news, but the flavored beers, beer. I think, are picking up.
We saw a crazy article.
Was it pizza?
What?
There's a pizza flavor beer,
No, we saw one. It was it was out of Thailand, and it's $60 or $70 for a thing. It is.
We need to
better
this.
Be good.
Yeah.
Just wait. It is coffee beans eaten by elephants.
Stop
and then taken out of the dung and then made into beer.
They
were doing it as coffee. They were doing the coffee in the cat that. Apparently, going through the digestive system makes it richer or something. And now they're taking it to the next level. It's a small batch, and I'm sure it's a fortune.
And who's figuring this out, too, is you know what? I would just imagine only if this bean could pass through an elephant.
Yeah.
This really is good, but you know what would be better if it went through someone's digestive system? Yeah. Something big, so it would take a while.
And
that
then
would be
who,
good.
I'm just imagining the whole process. Someone's got to go out there, collect the dung. Retrieve the
it has to first be an idea, and then you've got to sell it on some other people to just do it and figure it out.
Yeah, but these days that's not the hard part. I mean, you're talking about Andrew Zimmerman. I feel like now it's what is the next challenge? What's the next crazy thing?
Oh, it's
that
cannibalism
I can eat
for sure.
Yeah.
It's for sure. My foot is the next big thing.
Oh God, no, right? Oh God, no! I don't want anyone's swampy foot. No, thank
hair,
you.
Nails, anything you can shave off of a person and still have the person be alive.
But you're
sure.
probably eating that anyway.
That's why pescatarian. Pescatarian.
You never know.
Gather around, listeners. This is Tales from the Campfire.
Yes.
Okay, this is a segment where we find either a myth, something supernatural, a story, a ghost story.
Feel free to open snacks.
Okay. Yeah, go right ahead.
Dinner, yay!
Yeah, get ready. You need them around the campfire.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
At the campfire.
Do you have some s'mores I can create?
Sure.
I'm making them right now, listeners.
Yes, these are actually s'mores being opened up and not M&M's.
Ow, I burned my hand. I'm sorry. I'm trying to stay in character.
You wouldn't know that they would let us get an actual campfire going in here, but it's pretty good.
That'd be awesome.
So, Tales from the
Campfire. Tales from the Campfire. Campfire by Jaquetta.
By Jaquetta. Thank you very much. So today I have something here that comes out of West Virginia. Yes, this is the Mothman. Do you guys know about the Mothman?
I know all about the Mothman.
Did you see the Mothman Prophecy?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know anything about the Mothman at all.
Is this a storytelling show? No.
The Mothman?
The Mothman. My urban understanding. I'm like, it's a man that walks around telling wonderful stories on podcasts, right?
If only. So the Mothman started, it centered around a horrific event that took place in Point Pleasant, of all places.
Of New Jersey, right.
West Virginia. You guys have your own Mothman?
Yeah, there's a Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Point Pleasant, New Jersey. West Virginia.
And there's a Mothman there as well?
No.
Okay, I'm like, that's
not just the place.
I just shouted out New Jersey.
What? Jersey. So actually in West Virginia, people, not in New Jersey. Sorry. And in 1967, it was cold. Around 5 p.m., on U.S. Highway 35, there's a bridge, and it collapsed. And 37 cars went down. And 31 of the cars went into the water. 46 people died, and 9 were seriously injured. So this is a tragedy that happened. But people claim that they saw a mysterious creature that had come to be called the Mothman, rose up, and flew around the disaster.
And he didn't help anyone?
No, that's not what he do. That's not how Mothman do.
What is the Mothman?
Well, Mothman is a man-sized bird-like creature. He can be described as either looking like a thin butterfly or kind of like a bat. No, it's not fat.
Okay.
This guy's on a diet.
He looks good.
He needs to fly.
He forages. Yeah, and he needs to fly also. So shortly after the bridge, after the bridge collapsed, people kept seeing the Mothman like over and over and over again. But the first sighting, they said it occurred in 1960s, where a woman was driving her car near the Chief Cornstalk Hunting Grounds, and she stopped short to avoid what she thought was the Mothman. It was a figure that turned towards her, had glowing red eyes, you know how they do.
Yeah.
And it had two large, thin wings, and then it just flew off.
And it was man-sized.
Yeah, it was man-sized.
Oh, my God.
And moth-like. Another sighting happened in 1965. A woman living on the banks of the river saying that her son had come back from playing outside and said that he'd seen an angel in the yard. Later confirmed as the Mothman. Right? And then a year later, a doctor's wife described what she described something she saw as a giant thin butterfly. And then this is the weird one. Five men digging a grave said they saw a brown human with wings fly out of the trees. Anything seem a little weird about that one?
Five men digging a grave? Like how many?
Five men digging
Polish.
A grave.
How many? I'm Polish. I'm Polish.
Five men digging a grave.
You need five men to dig the grave.
I would say if you're digging a grave, I feel like you should focus on the task at hand because something's going down.
I feel like they were probably drunk as hell. Having a good old time, and then
digging a grave.
Yeah.
So then there were other incidents that people said there was a, you know, they saw a Mothman in the road. They called the sheriff. He shows up. Guess what? Nothing there. But they reported that the sheriff's radio, quote unquote, acted up, although nothing else was heard or seen.
So when the Mothman is around, people see it and be like,
Then their radios act up.
Radios act up. Bridges collapse.
What a superpower.
The thing flies around.
Yeah, it flies around. So near this area, there's a TNT land tract, which is where they used to, it's like dense forest, and then they're kind of mounds, and in those mounds, they were holding TNT and munitions and that kind of thing. And they're saying this is the perfect area for the Mothman to hang out. It's like a series of tunnels or caves.
Ooh.
And then nothing happened. Then he reappeared in 1968, apparently with a vengeance. And he was said to have been seen several times. But he doesn't do anything.
But how can you can't appear with a vengeance.
He just appeared hardcore.
I am so here.
Yes, don't question it.
But
he's
I'm not going to do anything.
He's not going to do anything.
Just keep digging your grave. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
So he doesn't do anything. No. He doesn't interact. Then his presence means something.
Yeah, a moth. Between 1966 and 67, over 100 people said they saw a Mothman. They said he's 7 feet tall, wings like a bat. And some people said that he glided rather than flapped. Oh. Okay, so they got specific about it.
He's a thing of beauty.
The weird... I'm blaming this on meth. I think it's the meth man. Yeah. I don't think it's the Mothman at all. The weird part about it is I did my research on this, and every year in September, they have a Mothman festival. Now, let's keep in mind that this thing started because, like, 41 people died off a bridge.
Why are you having a festival to celebrate a dude that's no good?
They have a Mothman Festival every year in September. Thousands of people come to the town. I went to the Mothman Festival website. It was awful, P.S. By the way, there was no information at all. They built a huge, creepy statue to the Mothman that stands in the center of town.
Well, the thing is, isn't it supposed to be the harbinger of disaster?
I guess. I mean, it seems like he just shows up and then flies off.
But then stuff happens. It's supposed to be like...
People's radios acted up.
No, but other disasters. Then they go back into history. And this is because of Deborah Messing, the Deborah Messing
That's
movie.
A disaster right there.
Deborah Messing, Richard Gere. Okay. And they were saying that in Both history...
disasters.
Other disasters... Before that one that you talked about, the bridge, the Mothman also appeared, and then soon there was another.
Really? Yeah. So did you see Mothman Prophecies?
Isn't that Mothman Prophecies? Or
I don't
is it
know.
Just Mothman? It's the movie. One movie. There, okay. One movie has been dedicated
I
to the Mothman.
I can't believe the Mothman has only one picture deal.
I can't believe he has a festival.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, right? He doesn't even have a song.
But it's like, say you're a little kid and you grow up in this town and you've been hearing about the Mothman your whole life. It's creepy. And then some jackass puts like a 10-foot tall statue in the middle of town of this
thing. It's not going to make things worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're what just tempting fate now.
Yeah. I just don't, I mean, a brown angel, a Mothman, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Does it speak?
Doesn't say anything. It just flies off. We've all seen moths.
Or glides.
Do shit. Or glides. Or glides.
Or glides. Like it says, a beautiful, beautiful bird.
Whatever the Mothman was, or Methman as I'm calling it, he has marked his place in West Virginia's rich and diverse history and traditions. A Mothman.
Huh. Get a big net.
Yeah. Yes. How about a giant ass light bulb?
Right. Or
just everyone, turn it on.
Everyone in the town should get a radio and set it on.
See if it acts up.
See if that, yeah. And then catch him.
Yeah.
Buy a bridge.
Or a huge net.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on. Yeah. So that's our tale from Dirk Campfire.
Nice.
The Mothman. Who knew?
I'm not going to West Virginia.
Well, no, I wouldn't go anyway.
Except for the festival.
Well, for the
when
Mothman Festival.
I'm going to the festival.
Every September, the Mothman. Be
all right.
There.
Can I make s'mores?
Moth.
I need Mothman. Food. I need food all the time.
I just like saying Mothman.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Mothman.
What do you have?
All right, I have advice.
Okay.
Advice on advice.
Yeah, so this is a segment that we do, and we hope we'll chime in on it. Advice on advice is a segment where we take advice we find on the internet that is unqualified and it stinks.
It stinks.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence...
Right. Advice on advice.
So I love it.
Katie's got advice today.
All right.
Sweet A on A.
And I hope our guests can help us out with this, too. So I'll read the advice.
You have an opinion
the question.
Everything.
I have opinions.
The question and
it
and
might not be
advice.
Well-informed, but I have opinions.
Oh, it's more informed than this. Who is it this week? Is
okay.
It Mrs. Webb?
Oh, not Mrs. Webb.
Okay.
I have... It's Judith Martin.
Okay.
Miss Manners.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So I went hardcore on this.
Old
okay.
school.
Dear Miss Manners.
With a vengeance, like the Mothman.
I go out with people who feel that it is acceptable to ask for more bread with the express purchase of taking that bread home, not to enjoy it at the meal. Am I wrong to think this is improper? So you're going out to dinner with people
setup.
And they ask for extra rolls.
Extra rolls, and they put those rolls in their purse,
No,
right?
They put it on their plate, and then they don't eat them.
So we're dealing with a demographic that smell like the kombucha is what we're talking about here.
Yes.
We're talking about an
People
older
who
set.
Who are just asking for bread for the hell of it.
Right. Yeah, so greedy diners want extras to take home, basically.
Okay.
All right, so they put it on their plate, and then come time to put, you know, get
they
a doggy bag.
They transfer it to the pocket.
No, they just put it in their doggy bag.
Oh, okay, so they are taking it home.
Yeah, they are, but they're like, oh, I'd like a roll now to eat. And they just kind of, you know,
church style.
Put it there.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right.
That's what we do.
So the advice
Tupperware.
Is, gentle reader, only if they are asking the grocer and planning to pay for what he hands them would they be wrong.
What? Excuse me? Wait, I'm sorry.
The seer says, "What is this from the Bible? Is this...
what is the Pentateuch?
Right.
It's early. What is going on? I'm confused.
Yeah, and that's just a sentence that starts out this
Miss Manners is on the pipe again.
Yeah, Miss Manners hears often about people who have expanded the doggy bag practice in order to stock their larders.
With one fucking bun.
Who says larders? Again, I'm asking you. What year is this from?
So you're saying too archaic.
A little bit.
Okay.
The idea was supposed to be to take home from restaurants the food that you had ordered but were unable to finish.
Allegedly, yes.
Yes.
Some do that.
Your dining companions actually want to request extra food they would not otherwise have been served. And now hosts report that guests are asking for or simply packing up leftovers after private dinner parties.
Wow. Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. In my culture, I don't know how it is in you guys' culture, you always send someone with a plate.
Yeah.
Even if you come over to my house and you just get a sandwich, I got a second sandwich.
Right.
You know, that I'm going to send you home with. And I'm going to force it on you with the Tupperware.
Take this home with you.
Yeah.
Or if I don't like you that much, I'll give you some foil.
Yeah.
Because who knows? You might not return my Tupperware.
We don't do that as much, but if you bring something and there's leftover of what you brought, you bring it back.
You take it back with you?
You take it back.
We don't do that.
Like, you give it, like, the host is like, no, you brought too much here.
And you're supposed to.
That's okay. Where I'm from, that would read as, damn, this macaroni was dry as shit. Send it back.
Yeah, so we know. Like, yeah, we take little bits of everybody's if there was...
Make a plate.
And you take
a plate.
Yeah.
Okay. That is very... I am used to that in black.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Take a plate. Mm-hmm. Even if you just come over. Take some
water.
Even
if you're not eating.
You don't even eat anything. Yeah. You want something?
Take a turkey. Just take it.
Take a little bit of greens.
I have this can of corn. Yeah. Please. These are not desperate, starving people.
I wish somebody would give me a can of corn. When I go over to their house.
I'm going to start doing that now.
Some peaches? Some cling peaches and light syrup? Is that all right with you?
I have some baby food. You know what? I don't have a child. I don't know why I have this.
Can of Coke?
Here. Yeah. These are not desperate, starving people, or they wouldn't be going to restaurants and dinner parties. Why are they begging and looting?
Looting?
Does she know what looting is? I know. How do they have the nerve to expect restaurants and hosts to supply them with future meals?
Lo and behold.
And why do you continue to eat with them?
That's the advice.
First of all, your friends stink.
Yep. Yeah. Get new friends.
Cheap bastards.
And how dare they ask for the extra roll?
That's so bizarre.
So what?
Yeah. I mean, with the price of the food the way it is today, an extra roll to accompany the little.
I mean, it's
to
not.
To sop up what you're taking
home.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like a little. It's not the classiest.
No, it's not. No.
We're not saying that.
No.
But I do know when you go to highly esteemed restaurants like Red Lobster, usually they'll pack some cheddar biscuits for you because they know it's good.
Yeah.
They know that's why you're there.
Yeah. Black people.
Everybody.
Red Lobster. I avoid Red Lobster because of the stereotype.
Red Lobster's so good, though, outside of major cities.
In major cities,
it's not good, but this is what I've realized because I kind of tend to stay away from chain restaurants
because you guys are from suburbs, right?
Yeah.
So in suburbs,
but even that, we weren't big chain restaurants.
No, I know, but it seems like where I'm from in the country, it may say it's a chain, but when you go inside, there's actually a regular chef. You know what I mean? They're doing their own regional kind of. Like when I was growing up, Pizza Hut was a really nice restaurant. It had a chef. Like, they had their own stuff going on. And then when I went to a Pizza Hut, like, in the city, I was like, what the F?
Where is the
salad bar?
So then the franchise kind of walked away from what it was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to drive all the way out there to check on them. So they can do what they want.
They can have a nice meal.
But what about, the elderly? Like, I know my grandmother, when she
took a roll or two in her day.
Oh, God. Yeah. And all upper sleeves, too. And
see,
upper sleeves.
That's
and upper,
not mentioned.
Upper shirt.
She walks in with an A cup, emerges with a C cup.
Yeah, and as she got older, she was in her 90s, and we took her to a Japanese restaurant. And when she stood up,
I love
silverware
Katie's grandmother.
fell out, and chopsticks.
Yes. How much because sushi does she eat?
Mama got to eat. Grandma got to eat.
Yeah.
I love that. When I get old, I'm going to steal.
Lots of sweet and low.
Yeah.
I love sweet and low. You know, I'm getting concerned now because when I go to restaurants and they don't have it, I'm like, am I going to be that old biddy when I'm like 75? Like, no, I have my own.
Salad? Oh, you only have one salad? I brought 9 salad dressings with me. And then you take them all out of your purse.
I have a packet.
Yeah. I have a salad bar of salads.
Oh, my God. We're heading
So Miss Manners is a little bit too rough. And saying get rid of your friends if they're taking rolls.
You know what? If I'm out to dinner with either of you guys and I see you packing extra roll, I'm going to get up and scream, rolls!
Yep.
They're thieving!
or when you order a roll, tell the waiter, no, she's not going to eat that now.
Yeah. She's eating that later, just so you know.
Yeah. Just
she's
so you
not
know.
Eating
Don't
it.
Even put that down.
Bring the roll wrapped so you can take it away when she doesn't eat it.
Although it would be weird. I've never been with someone who, like, you were getting your food wrapped up and you asked for more bread. Like, I've never had that. I've just had it, like, maybe it's sitting on the table.
Yeah, and then there's, like, put this basket
in there. Well, because once it's out, it's out.
Yeah.
You should take it.
Yeah, they're not going to. They better not reserve it.
They're not. They're going to throw it away. So I think that's great advice on advice. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't be mean.
Thank you very much. Yeah, don't be mean.
Yeah, don't be a jerk.
So I have some penis news.
Oh.
Great.
Wonderful.
Penis news here. Male circumcision device stirs controversy in South Africa. I think they could have used a better word besides stir, but that's just me. So basically, you know, generally, they're doing this because HIV transmission in South Africa is huge, and they're thinking, we circumcise people, it's going to work out. So they decided to take it to the Zulu Nation, basically, and we're like, would you guys mind if we try out a few circumcision methods on you?
I can't hear Zulu Nation and not hear Tribe Called Quest just like start running through my
head. In the KwaZulu Natal province. South Africa, there's which many South African Zulus live there. It's the country's largest ethnic group, and they have the lowest rate of male circumcision, but apparently a lot of sex and no condoms, I'm guessing.
Smart.
So they're trying to figure
it
out.
They nailed it.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out what they can do. So they have this new thing. It's called the Tara clamp. And it says here it's perfect for mass circumcisions. Now, you say those two words, and you're not going to get any guy within 200 yards of this place.
Oh, I'm hurting.
I imagine, like, a stockade, like a little stockade. And they all line up, and then
the chief first. So the mass circumcision, because one, if you're fully trained on this clamp, you can do 200 a day. Bang them out.
Holy shit.
Now, listen to this. The clamp is a plastic device that works by cutting off the blood supply to the foreskin during the period of a week. So they put this thing on your Johnson, on your foreskin.
Kill it.
And yeah. And it
they
basically
kill, they
just
kill the hood.
You starve it out. You starve it out.
Finally, it's like
yes. It and then it off. Just leaps off. It's like fuck it, F it.
I'm sure it smells great too.
But you gotta walk around. I'm imagining a lot of guys who are like, I don't have to wear much. And now I gotta have this thing on. Like that's not gonna go.
What guys
are
gonna do this?
I don't know. Well, 42,000 of them went for it.
And what was the promise?
Zulus.
Like, what did they...
The promise was, I guess, not having a 76% less chance of contracting HIV or AIDS. So I think it worked out pretty well.
But you can still contract it.
Yeah, you can still contract it. So that's why I find
it
bizarre.
Why don't they just
wrap it up?
Condoms.
Because they're not going to. There's two other devices. One from Israel called the Prepex, which sounds awful.
Of course
as well.
Our people have... We're kind of cutting edge. Hey!
Hey yo, and that's being tested in 14 African countries, but nowhere else in the world. Now, can you understand why people might be a little like, hey.
"This is wait a minute, this is a little bit."
Why are we the guinea pigs?
And the other one is a Chinese instrument called the Shang Ring, and they're using that one in Kenya and Zambia. You know what?
Again,
Asia, Israel, and Europe, cut off your own foreskins first, people. Well, you guys are ahead of the game.
It's kind of a thing.
You guys don't wait
kind of
until you're like a 30-year-old man to do it.
Yeah, apparently that is just horrible. I saw something, they did some survey about whether it's better to be cut or uncut, like there's more pleasure. But the problem is, like, unless you are circumcising dudes at a late age, how can you really do that test to find out?
Yeah. I don't care.
You need to put a raincoat on.
Yeah. You need to put a gym hat on it. And that's just the way that it is. Circumcised or not.
A gym hat?
Yes, a gym hat for your Jimmy. You've never heard that one before?
I'm thinking of, like, you know, PE.
Oh, no.
A gym hat.
I mean, it could turn into PE.
Yes, you need to put athletic shorts on the top.
You need to put a gym hat. Yep. So we want to thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
If people are looking to find you on the internet, where can they find you?
They can find me on the Twitter.
Okay. What's your handle?
It's MEPS, E-M-E-P-S.
Okay.
Very easy. You can find me on the Facebook. You can find my podcast under This Week in Blackness, under The Stays Funny.
Okay.
And that, you know, those are some places.
Yeah.
That's enough places.
If they want to really find you, they got three options.
Cool. I live in Brooklyn. You can find me.
You can track her down there.
I have a show, a bi-monthly show at McSwiggins in the East
Village.
Is that
Connotation? The
Connotation
show. Nice. Very funny show.
It's stand up and storytelling and we tried to do sketch. That was a bad idea. No sketch anymore.
No
sketch. Not so good.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard to get that in unless it's a sketch show or an improv show. People are like,
well, also the stage is like the size of a table.
Oh, so you really got to improv.
Yeah, you're just like, woo, but don't fall off. It's like every improv becomes like being on a boat or something.
Katie did once improv on a table.
I did.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Like gangbusters.
We got heckled like crazy. And my scene partner jumped off the table and bounced the guy out the door.
Yeah.
Well, that
But Katie
good.
Stayed in the scene.
I stayed in the scene.
And finished the work.
Yeah.
The work
Do not
the scene.
Break her.
Yeah. She stayed in the moment.
Did I break?
Cool. Thanks for listening to Hey You Know It. You can contact us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hey You Know It. Follow us on Tumblr, heyyouknowit.tumblr.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll read it on the air regardless of content. And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass. We'd love to hear from you. No, we can.
Katie is very thorough.
There they go.
She will interview you.
I see that. Things are highlighted.
She will interview you within an inch of your life.
Freaking interview you.
Do it.
Yes. So hard. You're going to walk out of here and be like, my whole life.
I have nothing left.
Yes.